There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, and I also write for The Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on the Saturday. Joining me, as is customary,
I forgot to again say the Saturday. I'm losing my touch.
That was supposed to be shtick.
It was shtick.
Weren't we going to try and do shtick?
No,
it was unspoken shtick.
Yes, I know. I have to remember.
Unrehearsed shtick.
I'm going to have to remember that.
What's up with you?
I said I would not touch the malls.
I'm glad you said malls.
Exactly. On Black Friday and such. And I did not live up to that because my mother had other ideas. And
oh, boy.
Again, every year I will say this. I would almost rather pay more than have to deal with that.
You don't do cyber shopping, do you? Very
I tried.
Much,
I went on Cyber Monday and tried to buy things, and everything I wanted to buy was not part of Cyber Monday. Like, I just thought, like, it's like on Cyber Monday, everything is reduced, or you get a little thing. It's certain items is what I found. And of course, the items that my 12-year-old niece wanted, for some reason, One Direction sweatshirts and such were not on Cyber Monday. Or Austin Mahono. I don't know who he is, but okay.
Wow.
Right now, every college girl or somebody that's listening to this is going to be like, what do you mean you don't know who Austin Mahono is?
What you're saying is that One Direction is still a thing among preteens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought that they might have timed
out
by now.
No, big with her, huh? No,
big
no.
with the Lauren.
Yes. All right. Like she... 2 years in a row now, she has hit Harry Styles things.
This is the second of 2 years?
Yes.
This year?
No more Monster
Where do you graduate
High.
From that? Where's the next thing?
Well, considering I kind of had, I was listening to the Backstreet Boys in my 20s. So.
But when did you start the, you wouldn't have started Backstreet. You wouldn't have stayed with the same act from age 12 until your adulthood.
No,
I mean, there's got to be somewhere she moves along.
I don't
along.
Know, because, you know, I mean, I wasn't the new kids type person, because I was like, when I was younger, we really didn't have a boy band.
We got to get her into something that has some staying power.
Although
maybe.
She likes Justin Timberlake, she likes Bruno Mars, but she likes a lot of kind of neat, more progressive, you know, more alternative, I guess, or more not just teeny bopper type things. But I have to say, there's this band, and I always say it wrong. I think it's called 5 Seconds of Summer. One time I said 6 Seconds, and I was made fun of, and I was like, okay, well, they've lasted a second longer than they used to.
You're 6 Seconds of fame.
But she, all of a sudden, we're having dinner one day, and she, over the summer, and she says, you guys, who's Amnesia? And I went, what? And she's like, who's Amnesia? I'm like, well, it's not a person. It's a condition that people get where they lose their memory, but we're explaining what it is. She's like, oh, and we're like, why would you think it's a person? She said, because the song that I really like, it says, I wish that I could wake up with amnesia.
Oh,
and she thought it was
as if a
physical.
So
then all of a sudden the MTV Awards come out,
who
and we're
among
watching.
Among us haven't been there.
And so I'm sitting.
I wish.
And we're watching the MTV Awards. My sister and I, her mom, and all of a sudden this band, 5 Seconds of Summer, comes on and they sing. And in the line, it says, I wish that I could wake up with amnesia. And I was like, we both have some now every time. And it was a very cool song. And I'm like, go, Lauren. Like, it was kind of a little alternative. And now I just watched the American Music Awards. And they had their brand new single out. And you'll never guess what it is. I'm sure the kids have never heard this that listen to it. What I Like About You.
A remake of What
Yes,
I Like
but
About
I'm
You?
Sure that they think
that's
that
hit.
It's an original. So I mean, it's the Kinks, right?
What I Like About You is Romantics.
Romantics.
And it was in that stretch of Talking in Your Sleep. And What I Like About You is in that, you know, all that, you know. Rock You Up was another one. Yeah, I've got their greatest hits. It's a good thing. It's a cool thing to be remaking, but I can promise you they don't think it's, they think it's an original.
That's what I mean. But it was like, but it shows it's kind of a cool group that's who they're going back
they
like
go,
to. Yeah.
If they go back to that, or you mentioned the Kinks, they had a great album out about that time called Give the People What They Want. And it's another one that's rife for covering. So I hope that's the trend.
I know. So, but for the first time, I'm like, okay, am I the uncool aunt? That she's like, okay, Austin Mahone. And I'm like, who's that? I used to think I was very in with pop culture. I really need to do my Austin Mahone research
because
she looked
lead.
At me like I was crazy for the first time because I'm the cool aunt, you know, and she kind of looked at me like, really? You know, that 12-year-old
well,
Sarah.
At least I know what amnesia is. Who among us hasn't woken up wishing they had amnesia?
Which when she was four, I was listening to another song and it was Bust a Move.
Right.
I think it was when she was about four and she went to her dad and said, Dad, what's a libido?
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So this is a little bit better.
Well, on that note, I have a quick thing to say. We've broken some news this week that Reba McEntire and Brooks and Dunn are going to be coming into the Coliseum.
Came
from that. So keep your radar up for that, country
it's
fans.
And Country Nation is huge. They're
country
loyal.
Coming back. Yeah, we got the rodeo in town. That's in full swing now. And they start in June. Their residency is filling in some of the dates left open by Celine Dion's vacancy for 2015. So I was just spent time with them over there. Delightful people.
Wait a second.
Delightful.
But hold on. Now, what's up with Shania Twain? Is she finishing
She's
up?
Finishing up at the end of this year.
So have they replaced Shania yet?
These dates are to fill the dates that she would have been filling. And there's another headliner that's going to be announced within the month that will probably...
Oh, so they're not replacing both Celine's dates and Shania's.
They're replacing open dates mostly because of Celine's absence. They were prepared for Shania Twain's and they've added dates to Rod Stewart and Elton John already. These are new acts to account for the likelihood of Celine being out.
And
for
when
the
do we think we will know who the next?
The next one will probably be within this month, by the end of the year.
Well, that's interesting news.
I'm hearing a lot about the initials KP, so I don't know. We'll see.
Katy Perry?
Maybe.
Wow. Okay. See, that was good. I knew that right away.
Okay. With that,
I'm cool again.
One of the great artists in this city is going to be our guest this week. It's Kristen Herzenberg. She has a show coming up at Cabaret Jazz with the great Philip Fortenberry and a holiday show she's going to be talking all about. But first, it's Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will.
We love Las Vegas. We love Las Vegas.
Hi, this is the amazing Jonathan, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Three women in this country have lost their minds. Their husbands can't care for them properly. You and I are going to take them back across the river to Iowa.
The Missouri River?
We leave tomorrow.
Hell, that's 5 goddamn weeks from here.
That's Tommy Lee Jones as ne'er-do-well drifter George Briggs and Hilary Swank as hardy frontier woman Mary B. Cuddy in the Western The Homesman. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Jones's latest film as a director and his third Western teams George with Mary B. to transport three mentally unstable women from the Nebraska frontier to Iowa so they can be returned to their families. The dynamic between the pious, dedicated Mary B. and the ornery, opportunistic George is the stuff of 1,000 buddy movies, but Jones treats it with enough delicacy to feel genuine. He also uses a familiar genre format to subtly subvert conventions, blending the old-fashioned and the progressive into a story that can be unexpectedly powerful. I give The Homesman 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Pyramid, a horror movie about archaeologists discovering terrors in an ancient pyramid.
This pyramid, unlike any other structure I've ever encountered, seems to have been built with the express purpose of keeping whatever is inside from escaping. If you come down here, bring guns.
The Pyramid is opening with minimal advertising and no advanced screenings for critics, which is never promising. The latest movie from local filmmaker Christopher Robin Hood is also opening this week at the Century South Point. Dirty Dealing features character actors Michael Madsen and C. Thomas Howell, along with a cast full of Playboy playmates, and its story follows a group of women who conspire to rob the casino where they work. I haven't had a chance to see Dirty Dealing, but Hood has built a successful business out of producing low-budget B-movies with plenty of skin, and Dirty Dealing looks to continue in that vein. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
There's 1,000 pretty women living out there. They're all living. The devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So be love.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is one of the great singers in this town. She's so great, it hurts.
Oh, oh, that's funny.
Blurb alert. She is currently a cast member in Million Dollar Quartet, Ad Harris, where she plays Diane on the nights when Felice Garcia is not playing Diane. But she's got something pretty groovy happening on December 13th at Cabaret Jazz. It's the Holiday from the Heart concert, where she will be collaborating with the great pianist Philip Fortenberry. The shows are 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. that day and night. And here to talk about that show and whatever else she wants to talk about is Kristen Herzenberg.
Hello.
Hello,
welcome
Kristen.
Welcome back.
Oh, thanks
welcome
for having
Cats
me.
Cats with a Dish.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah, one time.
Too long. You've been busy.
I have.
You have. I think since the last time you're here, you took on a Million Dollar Quartet. You were not a part of that
you
cast.
You were not back then.
Right.
How's
right.
that going? Let's talk about that a little bit.
It's great. You know, it's such an awesome show. People are on their feet every night at the end. And mm-hmm. my parents just came to see the show last night for the first time. So it was kind of, it was fun to hear their reaction to it. Yeah. They went nuts. They just loved it.
Yeah, that's a good show to take
it
for
is.
Parents too, because they have a whole different frame
of and they grew up with that music, yeah, so right. it was perfect.
Well,
so,
your folks are from like Canada or something, right? Or some from some other country.
Texas. Some people Texas? Think of Texas as another country.
Oh my. You could not be more opposite of Canada.
No, I was kidding. But they come out and I think I've met these guys at
I
some
think
point
you
or another,
have,
Cabaret
yeah.
Jazz or somewhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they liked it, huh?
Oh man. Yeah. They were just going on and on and on. They loved it.
Now how many nights a week do you work?
Well, I'm there every night, 6 nights a week, but I'm only on when Felice is out. So it's great because it gives me an opportunity to get the work done on my other shows. You know, I'm always memorizing lyrics for something else when I'm at Million Dollar Quartet.
Because this is it's a role that is, it's pretty static. I mean, you know, you don't have all, there's not a lot of book for you to recite in the show necessarily.
And yeah, not the, so much, not so much.
You have one song, two songs.
Two songs.
Two songs in the show.
And then I sing backup on a few other things and there's some lines. But it's in the brain. It's not going anywhere. So.
Yeah. And prior to that, people remember you from being in Phantom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I was wondering.
There's a little more to remember.
Yes.
I was wondering when that show closed if you were going to hang out in Las Vegas for a period of time. And it turns out that you've turned this into your home, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. I was wondering the same thing.
I think everybody was.
But, you know, we had a little girl, you know, during the run of Phantom. And it just, you develop roots in a place when you have a child, you know, in a different kind of way. So it just made sense to stay. And it's been good. I'm glad I did, you know, especially with the Smith Center here. Yeah. It just provides different opportunities. And
yeah, you've done a lot
so
of
cool.
singing
yeah, you've
in
done
that
a
place.
Lot. With, and even things like the Composer Showcase, the cast party. Wasn't the cast party?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been involved heavily in a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
You've done
it's
a,
like my happy place, the Smith Center.
You know? You're kind of doing a residency there in a way because you're there. You know, we can come and I mean, at least once a month we can see you there in some
I would say that you've probably done more singing in that room than anyone outside of probably Clint. You know?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
possible.
I
that's
think so
possible.
Because of the shows you've done and you've been with Travis and you're doing this. And
I
you've
know.
Done your own show, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to call you the first lady of Cabaret Jazz.
Oh my God, I'll take
would
it. That, I'll totally take it.
Would that be okay?
I've just made it up. There we go.
The Herzenberg Room.
There we go.
So tell us about how you got involved with, I know you know Philip from your experience with the, and probably at Liberace Museum. You worked with him there?
Yeah.
Where did you
well,
meet him
back
first?
When Composer Showcase was at the Liberace Museum was when I first got to know him. I don't know if you remember Rebecca Spencer from Phantom. She was our Madame Giry.
Yes.
And,
yes.
She and Philip have known each other for many years. And so she told me one night, you know, you should really get to know Philip Fortenberry and Keith Thompson and, you know, get involved in the Composer Showcase. And I was so intimidated by both of them, but she kind of talked me into it. So I got to know them, and now they're like two of my closest friends.
Yeah.
I performed with Phil at the showcase, and then, I don't know, we just, God Lives in Glass, that's what it was.
Right, Keith's
show.
We
really got to know each other during that, too.
Yeah. Both those guys are wicked. I mean, they're just incredibly talented.
Oh,
ridiculously
yeah. It's
talented.
Ridiculous.
Philip is scary to
he
watch.
Is.
His one-man show is fantastic.
You know, and he's so brilliant, but he's so grounded and humble at the same time. I just love that about him.
Mm-hmm. The same could be said for you. I mean, you don't, you know, have a huge ego about about, you know, your abilities, and you're very highly regarded in this city.
Thank you.
So it's good that you guys are working together. What are we going to see on December 13th? What are you going to play?
Well, back in 2011, Philip and I recorded a Christmas album together, and we haven't really revisited the material much since then. And I knew I wanted to do a show with him, so it just made sense for us to do that. So we're doing just about everything off the album. And then we have three new original songs, all written by Keith Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Are they holiday songs?
It's all holiday.
Wow.
It's all holiday. But we didn't want to do too much of the stuff that everybody's already getting sick of on the radio. Same songs over and over and over again. We're going to hit you over the head with a couple of those. But
in a new way.
Yeah, they're going to be reimagined and tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, but we tried to dig up, you know, a lot of Christmas songs that maybe people hadn't heard before or hadn't heard in a long time.
Such as,
there's a song called There's Still My Joy, mm-hmm. which was written by Melissa Manchester a long time ago. And then the Indigo Girls recorded it, and that's where I found it. I am a big fan.
So that's
a cool number that's just sort of about the flip side of things. You know, it's not always a happy time for everybody, and you can't always choose when bad things are going to happen to you. And sometimes it happens right before or during the holidays. It's just sort of about, you know, dealing with things like that.
Good for you, because I love Thanksgiving, but in some ways I get a little scroogey.
Me too.
About Christmas, so I'm happy.
It's stressful, Christmas. I mean, really.
It is exactly that. And we've got a lot of shows. You know, it's funny. Yours comes in. There's a long lineup of holiday shows coming into the Smith Center.
Yes.
Everybody's saying the same thing. We just want a cozy show, you know.
We don't
have to, you know, do a big spectacle and, you know, hammer people with it. It seems like this year is kind of, it's like the mellow Christmas season. People are trying to achieve that.
Yeah, I know I am. It's been a little too crazy for the last few years. To the point where it ends and I go, I don't know if I want to do this again. Like the month of December. Can we just cut it out of the year?
I'd be happy to say goodbye to December.
Yeah. So this year I was determined to keep it chill.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to do this with Philip, but outside of that, it's like, that's it. After the 13th, I'm home with my family and baking cookies.
Is Shay, your daughter, is she in a holiday frenzy? Is she...
Oh, yeah.
How old is she now?
She just turned 6 last week.
No, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. She's frenzy time, right?
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, all right. So has the Elf on the Shelf made his appearance?
We have had the Elf on the Shelf for the last few years. And last year I told her that, you know, she's gotten big enough now and she's so well behaved that the Elf doesn't really need to come and make sure she's being good anymore.
So he's
probably not going to come back this year. Unless she really messes up, and then he may come. But the Elf on the Shelf is. Do you have child listeners?
Well, no. Seriously, I'm part of the Elf on the Shelf thing, and I have to say, my niece, who we spoke about in the in our host chat before this, she is so smart that there was a time where she knew that with the Elf on the Shelf would come a present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so and. You know, the Elf on the Shelf does only stay until Christmas because then he goes back to the North Pole and lets Santa know, you know, that you've been good during the time and he comes back again the next year. Your personal elf is very busy.
He's an arc.
Well, because presents come with them, my niece stuck him in a drawer. 1 year and wanted to keep them
like
so the presents.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Wow.
Our elf doesn't come with presents, but every morning he has to be in a new location because he comes back from the North Pole every night. He goes and then he comes back. And it's just like, gosh, where is he going to show up today?
I saw one naughty Elf on the Shelf end up on a part of a chandelier and on Instagram, and it was literally cut in half with a wrecking ball.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
That's funny.
Okay, but enough of children. Yeah. So now your child, though, is she a singer?
Is she going to be?
That's so cute.
I feel like she is going to be.
She should come out and do a duet with her mommy for Christmas.
She would never do that.
Really?
No, not at this point. She's majorly afraid of being on stage and being the center of attention. So I catch her singing sometimes, and she sounds beautiful. She's got a great tone and good pitch and everything. But the second she sees me watching, it's like, she clams up.
I would imagine that that would be difficult when your mom is such an incredible singer to want to go into
She doesn't care about that yet. Maybe someday she'll care about that. Right now, she's just generally shy when it comes to performing.
Did you have to overcome any kind of fear of being in front of people and singing?
Yes. I've always been hammy. You know, when I was a kid, I was always like trying to be in front of the camera and stuff. But then when it came to actually get up in front of people, I had terrible nerves. So I definitely had to deal with it. I still deal with it. And you know where the worst place is? The Composer Showcase. Because you're in a room full of your peers and people you know. It's so much better to be in a room full of 2,000 strangers. No problem.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard people say this about the showcase too, and to a lesser degree the cast party, because it's a little bit more of a, you know, wheeling. But Keith has, there is a certain vibe in that room that there's a high standard because of the way Keith selects the acts and presents the acts.
Right.
It's definitely like this is not just screwing around. You should be prepared to do it. It's all original material, so you really be in.
And that's the other thing is that, you know, when I'm singing my own show, if I mess up, like, I'm just letting myself down. But at the Composer Showcase, I'm always presenting someone else's material, and I want to do it justice. So if I mess up, I'm totally letting that person down. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure.
What are some of your favorite moments? You have a couple of highlight moments from being on stage with Showcase. Did you ever sing Oberrockers?
I love singing his music. No, not Bandstand. I did something from his show called, what is it called? You know, I don't even know if it's titled yet. It's still new. It's like the Gypsy one.
Okay.
The Gypsies.
Right. That's brand new.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that has a title. And then I've sung his stuff from his parenting project, which I love. Mm-hmm. The dispatches from the front lines of parenting.
Yeah.
But I love singing Keith Thompson songs. He knows my voice so well at this point that he just knows exactly how to give me an opportunity to shine.
You're kind of like the Dionne Warwick to his, oh my gosh, no,
Burt Bacharach.
Yes, there we go. Thank you. I can't believe I spaced in Burt Bacharach.
That's so cool.
You're Keith Thompson's Dionne Warwick. I am just giving you names.
I love
it. You are the first lady of the Cavalry Jazz. You are the...
Flokja.
I love Flokja.
We need more first ladies in this
Hashtag.
City. We need more first ladies of things in Las Vegas.
Exactly.
But we were talking about Richard Oberrockers, the music director for Ka, and he's taken a musical back to New York and showcased it called Bandstand. That's the reference there if you don't know who Richard is. And you're right in the middle of that creative community, you know, and when you're in the showcase, and you have been for quite a while.
Yeah, it's been great to work with him. Michael Brennan also. You know, we have this like pocket of fabulousness in Las Vegas with these composers that are not only super talented but really prolific. You know, they're always
Keith
cranking
is
out
really
stuff.
Really prolific. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's great. You know, I've gotten to do a lot of readings of new works, and I love that can happen here.
You seem to be the go-to girl that people, that people, when they do write something, that they're like, oh, you know, we want Kristen to do it. You know, like, I have noticed that I haven't been to all of them, like Katz, because he's so great about it, but the few composer showcases that I've been to, it seems like people seek you out to sing their music because you're so wonderful. That's got to be that has to be really thrilling that so many people want you to sing there.
Well, that's sweet.
Music.
I'm grateful that I get to sing there as much as I do. Definitely.
Because you're the first lady of the Cavalry.
Well, it was especially great when Phantom was running, because the show went for so long, which was awesome, but it was also the same material for 6.5 years. So it was great to just be able to challenge yourself to learn something new and interpret things in a new way. And, you know, which we weren't able to do with Phantom. We just said it and did it.
Yeah, and you're in the middle of a cast that is full of people who have side projects.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody
I can't
in that
keep
show.
Track
Martin.
Of everybody that is doing something different.
Rob Lyons has his kind of alt-rock band.
I know,
and
I
Ben
love
Hale.
It.
Everybody's doing their different thing. That's what's interesting. Everybody has their different vibe. Ben has his Crimson Balladeers, and he's been your backing band.
And I'm going to back him up pretty soon, too.
So what
he's
is
got his own thing coming
what
up.
Is happening with that, with your individual effort that – I don't even know what it's called. It's you and Ben's – band, right? You and the Balladeers.
It doesn't really have a name. No, it's not the Balladeers. It's separate.
You and Burt Bacharach? Is that what you said?
Ben is definitely like the heartbeat of that band, but it's a separate group. And he pretty much assembled it back in the beginning. Well, you know, we just did a show recently in the end of September that was awesome. And we're just sitting back right now and seeing what might come up next. There's not a lot I can talk about right now.
Really? Is there something? Are you talking to people about doing something?
They're in discussions.
There are discussions happening about, you know, a couple of different things. I love playing with that band so much, and it's been like a really great growth period for me over the last year and a half working with them and working with, you know, every one of them is such a brilliant musician, mm-hmm. and to be able to sort of try to live up to what they're bringing to the table has been great for me, because it was a lot of that music was sort of new to me coming from this theater background.
You're a trained opera singer, right?
I mean,
it's interesting to see somebody with those underpinnings singing contemporary music. It's just a lot of people can't do it. They can't sell it that well. Mm-hmm. They're great vocally, but it's hard for them to sing until Janis Joplin, you know?
Right.
I didn't know you I saw Phantom a bunch, but mm-hmm. I didn't know you while you were in Phantom. While Phantom was running, I hadn't met you yet. I know that, you know, you and Katz have been friends for a long time, but I met you after Phantom closed through seeing you perform at the Composer Showcase.
Right.
To me, obviously I know that you did it, but I cannot imagine you as Christine because of the wig, and like I don't have that connection.
Right.
So your range, because I've heard you sing Christine, and to me that's one of the most unbelievable roles you could ever imagine. You have to have such range and such pipes, and there you are now again singing anything. I mean, that's hard. Usually if someone's a opera singer, when they sing pop, it just sounds like they're, you know, doing an operatic version of pop.
Right.
But it's like that, the fact that your voice has so many facets is unbelievable. Obviously you had to be trained for opera, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So is it hard, or is it just something that comes natural to you to be able to switch it up like that?
You know, it's something that I always played with while I was learning, when studying opera, and my teachers were always really against it.
Yeah, because usually if people sing opera, they don't want you. They want you, to have that foundation and to breathe that way and to attack every note that way.
Yeah.
That I can't imagine any, you know, you're harming your voice or something by doing anything differently.
Well, I don't think that I've harmed my voice, but
a lot of teachers would say that.
Oh, they definitely would. But I do think that, I may have taken away some of my strengths by developing other parts of my voice. I may have, I don't know that I could go and like sing an entire opera role today, probably because of the other ways that I've been singing. But to me, that's okay. I'm at the point now where I'm like, I don't really have illusions of, or delusions.
Delusions. Or illusions.
Either. Sometimes I have illusions, but anyway, delusions of being, on the stage at the Met at some point.
Well, you could train yourself back into
it. I'm sure if you would just give it a couple
hard.
Weeks.
It's a lot of work.
Give
it's
Diana
a really...
rest and, focus
yeah.
on it.
There you go.
It's funny you should mention that, because we know Clint Holmes, and he was in the show this week in A Million Dollar Quartet singing what was this, the Elvis song you sang? All Shook Up.
All Shook Up, yeah.
And I've talked to him about this too, and he's got the similar training as you do. And he's done Beatles songs in his show at Cabaret Jazz, but he's got Baccarat, speaking of which, and the Beatles in the same show. Mm-hmm. And when he turns into the Beatles, he does a medley where it's like Hard Day's Night is in there, and I think I saw Her Standing There is in there. They're kind of rockers.
Right.
He sells them great. You know, he's going to sing anything, but he has this kind of look on his face like, yeah, I'm a rocker now. He doesn't really, I feel like it's not his home court.
Yeah.
You enjoy that really a lot.
I was
going
gonna
in
say,
that
like
direction.
Everything is your home court, which is what probably in a horrible way it was explaining.
Rap is not your home court.
It is not, but I do go there sometimes.
But that's your favorite. Is that your favorite thing to sing? Is it just rock and roll? Is it country? What is it?
You know, I can't say I have a favorite, because I just love it all, and that's part
she's
of my
good
problem.
At all of it.
No,
which drives me crazy. She's so talented.
Please. I find joy in all of it, and that's part of my problem, because I can't pick one thing, you know? And so I think I'm a little spazzy that way. Like, I don't – it's hard for me to record an album, for example, because I want to do everything, you know?
Yeah. Hard to stay in one genre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's why the Christmas album was fun, because with that theme, we could sort of do whatever we wanted within it, and our show's going to be a little bit like that, too. There's some kind of soprano moments, and there's some kind of theatrical moments, and then some rock and roll kind of moments. And
cool.
We're going to do a little bit of everything.
A little spoken word, a little patter.
Yeah. little spoken
little
word,
scat.
Of course.
A little spoken word.
Scat is not my comfort zone.
I'm going with scat. I'm going to rush the stage.
I think she's going to do Def Jam poetry in the middle.
Throw herself across the stage.
I wish I could scat. You know, there is a major strength of Clint Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He goes into an alternate universe sometimes.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Like Bobby McFerrin meets I don't know who. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's done it with Jerry Jones, my buddy Jerry. Who's one
of
the
Jerry's
best
awesome
ever,
too.
That, those two.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, really that's cool. True.
Well, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
We're getting the wrap-up sign. It is December 13th at Cabaret Jazz. The shows are 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. 7 p.m. 2 and 7 p.m. Sorry, I said that. 7:37.
Okay.
Get there early.
Exactly.
Kristen Herzenberg.
Because sometimes the meat plate is gone and the cheese is before the, you're...
You want to get the cheeses early. It's Kristen Herzenberg, Philip Fortenberry at Cabaret Jazz, and it's the holiday show, and we're just looking forward to Holidays from the Heart, and we'll be there.
Thank you so much.
Thanks much.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!